shining a light on the path to feeling better, looking better, and living better. This is Heart Doc VIP, Healthy, Integrated, and Preventive with Dr. Joel Kahn on Empower Radio. Now, here's America's Healthy Heart Doc, Dr. Joel Kahn.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Heart Doc VIP, the middle of August. Summer's kind of slipping away fast here, and before we know it, it'll be Labor Day. So enjoy every day. If you got a little warm weather and sunshine, and you're probably saying, I live in Phoenix. We got more than warm weather. We're frying on the sidewalk. I get it. But if you're enjoying some nice weather, it's going to be gone quick. So be mindful. Enjoy the moment. I know here in Michigan, we so love May, June, July, August, and September. And then we get orange and yellow and red leaves, and then we get snow. So we're in the middle of still pinching ourselves when we get nice days. So just sharing that feeling, because it just seems like the days are definitely getting shorter. And I want to grab and squeeze the juice of a little more summer. I don't know about you. A couple shout outs. If you're in the Detroit area, September 19th at Seahome High School in Birmingham, the great Neil Barnard will be speaking for the organization I helped co-found, www.pbnsg.org. Go over to that website, sign up, and I'll see you there. I'll be on stage for a little bit. Be a great event. We'll celebrate getting back together live since we've been doing all Zoom virtual sessions for a few years. We finished the five-day fasting mimicking diet prolonged group fast. It was a huge success. Everybody thrived and succeeded. There were hundreds of people. If you want to do prolonged fasting mimicking diet on your own, or you want to try the L protein powder, which is amazing, or the L vitamins or the fasting bars, go over to www.prolonlife.com/Dr. Kahn, D-R-K-A-H-N, because they still have the reduced prices. They are amazing prices. If you're looking to shop at home and have great prices also, have really wonderful foods delivered to your home, go over to www.thrivemarket.com, T-H-R-I-V-E. Don't have a discount code, just one I love, and I think they're doing such good things, okay? We are busy at the Kahn Center as always. We are booking new patients as always. We're out into easily September. If you want to book, please just call Lisa 248-731-7412. We had a week full of all kinds of interesting patients, atrial fibrillation, congestive heart failure, preventive disease, cardiomyopathy, all kinds, of course, of lipoprotein A cholesterol disorders, high blood pressure. Sometimes post-COVID syndromes, we had a couple of those this week. And then we get some odd ones, young people with chest pain, we're dealing with that this week. And we do very careful workups. Everybody gets love. All right, we're going to just do this a little variation today. A few mini topics, which are really important and you'll use in your life. And then we're going to deviate to a little different main topic than has been my theme for the last few months. So let's go to one that got headlines all over in a journal, just in case you're the kind of researcher that likes to go over to the journal. I give the shout out. We talk a lot about JAMA, J-A-M-A, Journal American Association Internal Medicine, August 12, 2024. Plant and animal fat intake and overall cardiovascular disease mortality. This is a United States database study, including a couple diet programs, but they had data on over 400,000 participants, 24 years of follow-up. They got a careful dietary history at the beginning, and they followed them, and since it was such long follow-up, they actually were 190,000 deaths. And these originally healthy people. Whew, that's what happens in life. The average age was 61 when they entered the study. About half were male, half were female. And they had these dietary histories. And in this case, they analyzed how much of their fats in their diet came from plant fats, particularly plant fats like grains and vegetable oils, which is interesting. And how much of their diet came from animal fats, of course, butter, lard, dairy, eggs. And they analyzed very carefully with what's called a multivariate analysis what was the relationship between the dietary intake and the outcome, and particularly cardiac death. And of course, the criticism is this wasn't randomized. And what if somebody during the 24-year outcome changed their diet? And that can happen. That's why the Harvard School of Public Health repeats the dietary history every 4 years. That wasn't done here. Well, the interesting finding was the more plant fats, the lower the risk of cardiovascular death, about 15% roughly. And the more animal fats, the higher risk of cardiovascular death, about 15% higher. And what were the ones that they found particularly? Eating whole grains lowered cardiovascular death. And yes, there are some healthy fats in whole grains. They also found, and you may say, egads, but the data is the data, that using vegetable oils lowered the risk of cardiovascular death, about 15%. And if you're using butter, lard, and ghee, coconut oil, and palm oil, although those are vegetable oils, they're much more like animal oils, and you switch over to plant-based oils, they didn't specify, we're talking my favorite, extra virgin olive oil, organic avocado oil, but even canola oil and others, you lowered your risk of cardiovascular death significantly. On the flip side, they specifically found that dairy fat and egg fat was associated with increased cardiovascular mortality. What they also can do is they can do a computer simulation. If you took 5% of your calories during the day from animal fat and switched it over to 5% of your calories every day from plant fat, just give up butter, lard, ghee, and go over to a vegetable oil, maybe preferably extra virgin olive oil. You would lower your risk of cardiovascular mortality significantly by up to 24% for all causes of death and 30% for cardiac death. So we're talking big data. No, not a perfect study. Everybody's going to jump on it and say, association, association. But it's so consistent with so many other studies, it is hard to ignore, is it not? All right, let's jump over now to the great Cleveland Clinic and a journal called Circulation Heart Failure. Circulation is a really prominent journal. An article published August 9th, 2024, bringing you up to date news. This is the second week in a row we got a paper by the famous Dr. Stanley Hazen, TMAO. And incident heart failure in a community population. You've heard about TMAO over and over. That stands for trimethylamine N oxide. It's a blood test, Quest, LabCorp. It's a metabolite. It's in your blood, particularly if you eat egg yolk and red meat. It's not in your blood if you are a vegan, unless maybe you are taking supplements with choline, not that uncommon. And carnitine, and remember, even Monster Energy drinks and some others have carnitine. And they looked in 12,000 people in various US studies on the development of congestive heart failure. And after 16 years of follow-up, what did a baseline TMAO level predict? And what they found was higher levels of TMAO were a risk for developing congestive heart failure over the follow-up. Things were adjusted for kidney function because there is a relationship between kidney function and the blood level of TMAO, but there still was a relationship. Now, whether TMAO causes congestive heart failure, whether TMAO is what's called a biomarker, isn't known. But in my clinic since 2015, thousands of patients have had their TMAO level measured. Many have been high. Then we do the responsible thing. We advise patients to cut out their egg yolk, cut out their red meat, and cut out their carnitine and choline. We follow up their TMAO, and we see it return to normal. And that would suggest that we have lowered the risk of incipient heart failure over the years, although that study hasn't been done yet. The Cleveland Clinic needs to come to the Conn Center and just visit us, and we can help them with some of these studies. Don't you think that would be a good idea? I think that would be a good idea. I have actually suggested that to Dr. Hazen in the past. So we're doing good work here, without a doubt. And we encourage you to ask your clinician, hey, can I get a Quest Lab TMAO? And I'm just curious how my diet is working. I happened, because it recalled that I had a telemedicine consult with a patient in the last 2 weeks, a nice 77-year-old man that likes to play with his supplements. And he likes to add in carnitine and sometimes eats too many egg yolks. So in May of this year, a TMAO level should be less than 6.2. And his TMAO level was 60. I think you can do the math. That's 10 times normal. And I told him, hey, Bill, why don't you cut out that carnitine capsule you're taking? Why don't you either eat egg whites without the egg yolk or just cut out eggs? He already was not eating red meat. And on July 11th, about 6 weeks later, we rechecked his TMAO level. You know what it did? It went from 60 down to 3. So I think that was a good thing we did for him. It only makes sense, even if it hasn't been fully studied yet. And we can do that for you, too, if you're a patient of the Conn Center. That's what we like to do. Lower risk with intelligent medical care. All right, third mini topic. We've talked about this before. Another blood test study. What about adding to your standard lipid panel your primary care doctor's cholesterol, LDL, HDL, and triglyceride, a very simple and inexpensive blood test called ApoB, APO capital B, but it's also probably on the lab order slip is apolipoprotein B. So in again, JAMA Cardiology, June 12th, 2024, researchers that were associated particularly with my alma mater, University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, where I did my cardiology fellowship 574 years ago, but more specifically, I finished 35 years ago. There was a nice United States database of 13,000 patients that had that cholesterol value and had that ApoB blood value. And the feeling was that the ApoB was the most accurate and even, they say, superior marker of cholesterol control and cholesterol risk. So they looked at how much did measuring the ApoB add if you knew everything else. You knew their age, their weight, their blood sugar, their blood pressure, and their risk. How much did measuring maybe a $25 blood test add to the sample of patients in really identifying risk? And what they found, there was a lot of variability in ApoB beyond just measuring LDL. Some people had an elevated LDL and a reasonable ApoB. Some people had an elevated LDL and a very high ApoB. Why might you have a high ApoB? Because ApoB not only reflects how much LDL cholesterol you carry, but it also is a great marker to suspect you have lipoprotein little a in your blood. So if you're one of the 20 to 25% of people that was born with the ability to make high amounts of lipoprotein little a, and you get that simple $25 blood test called apolipoprotein B and it's high, you might say, I wonder indeed if I'm carrying lipoprotein little a and I'm at more risk. Of course, in my clinic, we're just going to measure lipoprotein little a in every single human being at any age. You know, we do see some 18-year-olds in the clinic, and I think that's the most reasonable approach. But ApoB is confirmed again as a reasonable blood test to ask your primary care to get, okay? Well, I never miss an opportunity to bash eating animal foods. but only when the science is there. So in a, I won't call it a medical journal, but in a newsletter called Health Day, just published August 16th, is an article, red meat could be a prime driver of colon cancer in the young. And nothing is sadder than the idea of young people having to have surgery and chemo and maybe not surviving colon cancer. In fact, one of my children went to law school with a delightful woman, and her husband just passed away in his 30s of colon cancer with children. Nothing sadder, nothing more tragic. So they were reporting on an article, July 17, 2024, in a journal called NPJ Precision Oncology, a study looking at early onset colorectal cancer. They consider that people less than age 50 compared to people with the more usual age of colorectal cancer over age 60. There's no good time to have it, but young is work. And they identified changes in the bacteria in the gut that were typical of red meat eaters. And they drew the conclusion that the rise in colorectal cancer in young people may be in part, particularly processed red meat, that bacon, that hot dog, that pepperoni, that bologna, that salami. Although in other studies, all red meat falls suspect. So spread the word to young people, please, that the conclusion was red and processed meats might be driving colon cancer risk in young adults. Young adults with colon cancer have higher levels of metabolites tied to red and processed meats. This indicates changing the diet may be a way to lower colon cancer risk in young persons. So I hope you share that message with as many people as possible. That's my obligation. That's your obligation. We have to be messengers of health, particularly when we're talking such tragedies that do occur to people. Okay. How about another one? Everybody does worry about their brain health. And in a very prestigious journal called Neurology, August 14th, 2024, blood pressure medication use and Alzheimer dementia risk and non-Alzheimer dementia risk, a meta-analysis. And as many of these studies do, they accumulate lots of studies. In this case, they found in a variety of research studies, 31,000 participants, 41% male, mean age 72. Some had untreated high blood pressure. Some were on blood pressure medication, and they looked at the relationship of developing all kinds of dementia. What they found rather distressingly is there was between a 36 and 42% higher risk of developing dementia in people with untreated hypertension. Maybe you don't own a blood pressure cuff. Maybe you don't want to be on medication. Maybe you had a side effect of your medication and you stopped it without discussing it with your medical team. Maybe you haven't been to a doctor that knows some natural therapies of lowering your blood pressure. There's so many we use at the Con Center. I did an interview today with a prestigious journal about infrared sauna. There's a strategy that naturally lowers blood pressure, plus weight loss, plus exercise, plus better sleep, plus simple supplements like CoQ10, magnesium, Muktavati. There's one you may not heard of, Muktavati, M-U-K-T-A-V-A-T-I, plus quercetin, plus arginine and citrulline, and on and on and on. So many different pathways, plus omega-3. But the conclusion was blood pressure medicine use was associated with decreased Alzheimer's risk. Treating hypertension, even late in life, continues to be crucial in mitigating the risk of dementia. And, be more diligent about your blood pressure determination and control. I really, really struggle, but I also really, really stress with patients. Blood pressure control, blood pressure control, blood pressure control. And how do you know about blood pressure control? You have to have a home blood pressure cuff, right? And you absolutely have to use it regularly over and over. In fact, I was a little shocked yesterday. I'll share this. I finished my 5-day fasting mimicking diet. My typical blood pressure does run about 106 to 110 over 70. Believe me, I work hard at that. And I checked my blood pressure yesterday. I felt perfectly fine. And it was about 90 over 60 because, you know, I had just lost a good number of weight on the prolonged fasting mimicking diet. I had really focused on, you know, relaxation, stress management, and there appeared to be some benefit. So maybe you want to do that 5-day fasting mimicking prolonged diet too. Okay. Well, let's do a deep dive on a major topic now. And once in a while, I focus on a particular supplement. I'm not pushing, I'm educating. We've talked about a few over the last few months. We did a deep dive on creatine supplementation for muscle strength, particularly in vegetarians and vegans. I may give you a link in the notes about a good creatine I like. We talked about an interesting supplement, an essential fatty acid called Fatty 15, which you can order at fatty15.com with the discount code KAHN10. I'm still fascinated by it, and I take it. We talked a while back about a New Zealand vitamin called CaloCurb. Remember that one? CaloCurb that suppresses appetite and is a plant-based vitamin. You can buy at calocurb.com from a very, very high-quality research company in New Zealand. And there is a discount code JOEL10, JOEL10. And now let's turn to an interesting one we've never covered before. Astaxanthin. That's a mouthful, literally. Astaxanthin. Astaxanthin. Astaxanthin falls in a family called carotenoids. Carotenoids are powerful. Maybe you take some eye vitamins with lutein and zeaxanthin in them. Those are carotenoids. Think of carrots, the orange vegetables. Think of orange peppers. Think of cantaloupe. They're all rich in carotenoids. But it turns out the number one, most powerful carotenoid on the planet, not even close, is actually astaxanthin. And it's actually a pigment. So anything in nature you think of that's pink might well have astaxanthin in it. Let's talk about salmon. Why do you think salmon's pink? Astaxanthin. It's one of the potential health benefits of salmon. I will never do this, but what if you boil up some shrimp? They turn pink. You know that. That's astaxanthin. Well, it turns out salmon and shrimp don't make astaxanthin. It's made predominantly from a microalgae. And I'll give you science geeks the name in a minute. Although there's a little bit of astaxanthin found in some bacteria and some yeast. It, unlike the other famous carotenoid, beta carotene from carrots, the orange-yellow carotenoid, not the pink one, astaxanthin does not have vitamin A activity, but it has some of the highest antioxidant activity found on the planet. And sometimes I will see plant-based diet bashers saying, you know, I eat shellfish, I eat salmon, I get astaxanthin in my diet, and you guys get no astaxanthin. So what's going on with that? Your diet isn't very good. And really, you can source the astaxanthin from an algae, but I've never seen where you can just buy the algae. You have to look for a supplement. And you might say, EGADS, not a supplement, but you can. And the supplement, you know, is widely available and I think reasonably inexpensive. And the name of it is, it's a microalgae, Haematococcus pluvialis, if you really want to know. You don't really need to know that. You might want to know that. So how much literature is there on astaxanthin? A lot. Just as an example, if you're a science geek, December 22nd, 2022, in a journal, Natural Products Bioperspective, is an academic review article, Pharmaceutical and Nutraceutical Potential of a Natural Bioactive Pigment Astaxanthin. And they have a figure. It's the only figure, so we'll call it figure one, that shows the human body in all the places astaxanthin helps. Starts at the top of the body, eye diseases, macular degeneration. Stays at the top of the body, brain functioning and cognition. Goes down to anti-aging, blood pressure control, and cardiovascular disease. Respiratory diseases, stress, fatigue, and depression. Anti-obese function, liver health, anti-diabetic function, anti-cancer function. Anti-COVID function, there's an interesting one. Male and female fertility assistance, carpal tunnel syndrome prevention, and immune function. And it goes on to review in great detail a variety of potential benefits of astaxanthin. Now, it's not like there aren't studies. In this particular paper I just quoted, there are in the medical research world as of 2022, 247 studies quoted. Just to pick one, let's pick number 200, actually 74. I transpose that for some reason. I'm outside. The sun is pretty bright. Article 274 is safety of an astaxanthin-rich Haematococcus pluvialis algal extract, a randomized clinical trial. This was actually published back in 2005. 8 weeks, people receiving astaxanthin or placebo, all kinds of blood tests for safety, blood counts, liver enzymes, and all the rest. There was no safety concerns. I'm reading the last line. In healthy adults, they studied 6 milligrams a day. In my clinic, I've been using a plant-based vitamin D, 5,000 international units, with 1 milligram of astaxanthin a day as a routine. It's a nicely priced product, and it gives everybody a little bit of astaxanthin. But many people take significantly more, and a common dose is 12 milligram, but a really high-quality plant-based source of astaxanthin that I'm going to share in the link is 21 milligram, and you might even take that every other day and get yourself a good, reliable, nicely priced, and very high-quality company source of astaxanthin. And ask yourself, how do you feel? So in an article that I couldn't call academic, what is astaxanthin, and is it good for you? The proponent talked about the benefits that could include cardiovascular disease, cholesterol and blood pressure reduction, cognitive health. We all care about that. And there is clinical studies about brain inflammation going down. Healthy skin. Some people call astaxanthin nature's suntan lotion. People that take astaxanthin are much less likely to burn. That may be why I get sun. I don't burn. I just don't get burns. I personally like sun. Athletic performance, reducing joint pain, increasing sperm motility, all kind of fun topics. And in another one, I won't call it academic, called Very Well Health, but they do carefully write their articles. They reviewed benefits of brain health, eye health, we talked about that, cholesterol health, immune health, and skin health. As the most common, using Haematococcus pluvialis. Side effects, frequent bowel movements, and red-colored poop. Red-colored poop is very rarely described, and I can only give a personal testimonial. I do not have Haematococcus pluvialis red movements. The final thing I wanted to share was there actually is some decent human data. There is an ongoing study using astaxanthin and congestive heart failure. We have to wait. But there was one published June 2020 in a journal called Nutrients. effects of 3 months of astaxanthin supplementation on cardiac function in heart failure patients with left ventricular systolic dysfunction. The study, I believe, emanated from Japan. You can look it up if you want to. 3 months of astaxanthin. I will quickly, I read it this morning, but I'm trying to find. 12 milligram astaxanthin in people with serious heart disease. The follow-up was a variety of blood studies measuring oxidative stress. And most interestingly, they also looked at ejection fraction and walking time, which are very important measures. And bottom line, compared to placebo, the astaxanthin-treated people had an improvement in oxidative stress. They had an improvement in what's called six-minute walking time, a standard test in all heart failure clinics. And they had a 4% increase in ejection fraction. You also get, according to a study, about a 4% increase in ejection fraction with CoQ10. So nobody yet has stacked CoQ10 with astaxanthin. Happens to be I do take that, but it is an interesting concept. So we've covered an interesting topic. I hope you agree. Astaxanthin as a potential interesting supplement you want to consider, even if you consider it 3, 4, 5 times a week. I just thought it was enough to share with you as an interesting topic. And we're going to shut down this week. If you're in Detroit, I want to see you September 19th at Sehome High School, pbnsg.org. And we'll be back next week with a power-packed Heart Doc VIP. We went a little long. I'm just excited. Call me a science geek.